The prophet here invites us to look at four things for the future events. And he starts here in verse 1 of chapter 32 by the king being reigning. He says here, we're going to see here in the first five verses describing the kingdom age of Christ. He starts in verse 1, "Behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princesses will rule with justice." You notice that first of all, the prophet starts here, "Behold, a king will reign in righteousness." Who's that? Jesus. Not only did he come the first time as the Savior of the world, but as a servant. If you read Isaiah, we'll get to that, chapter 52 and 53. He gives not only his introduction, but he gives you his death, the way he's going to die. And why he came? He came because we were lost. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, sinned against God. And if Adam and Eve sinned against God, think of the grace and mercies God's given to each one of us individually to give us the opportunity of repentance. Repentance. Coming to that place where I look at my life and I see my sinful nature. And there's only one way that I can take care of that sinful nature. And that is to behold a king that reigns in righteousness. The word here, princesses, in reference probably to the 12 apostles, because we're going to see in the kingdom age. Verse 2, he says, "A man will be a hiding place from the wind, in a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land." You know, Jesus here provides not only shelter for us, how about protection, refreshment, and shade for each one of us individually. It's so awesome the way Jesus works. Then he says in verse 3, "The eyes of those who see will not be dim, and the ears of those who hear will listen." You notice eyes and ears. Seeing and hearing. We see through our hearts. We hear through our hearts. The beating of our hearts. And I think that we need to change that and hear the actual beating of God's heart. But as we listen to the heartbeat of God, maybe our hearts will begin to be like his heart. He says here that the prophet was warned at his call here in verse 3 that men would be closing their ears and notice and their eyes to the truth. Look around you today. Closing their ears, shutting down their eyes. They don't want to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say. Seven times in the book of Revelation, he says, "But he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church." Seven churches. And the first church that Jesus comes to, the church of Ephesus. This church of Ephesus has walked away from God. He says, "You have left your first love. Repent, return, and I will forgive you." That is the heart of God for each one of us individually. That God can give us ears to listen and lips to be able to speak his praises and eyes to see the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord in each one of our lives. When we look at the leaders today, they're blind. So if a leader is blind, so the people will be blind. They won't be able to follow the shepherd because the shepherd's not following God. So we need to keep our eyes open, watching. Remember he says watch so many times in the New Testament. And the word watch means be alert. Be alert. Look around. Look what's going on in the world today. Look what's happening in people's lives, even in the church today. And then he says in verse 4, "Also the heart of the rash will understand knowledge. And the tongue of the stampers will ready to speak plainly." The word rash here speaks of decisions. Decisions that we have to make. I would pray that our decisions would be bathed in prayer before we make those decisions. That those decisions that we make are led by God, not by our emotions. But to say that God spoke to me in the Word of God. And the word to stammer here, this is actually the former drunkards. Remember, he talked about the drunkards who uttered nonsense in their actual drunk stupor. They had really nothing to say. You ever meet a drunk person? They say stupid things. That's why we have to be sober. Sober so that the Holy Spirit can empower me and I will not need any false stimuli or any false anything in my life, drugs, alcohol, whatever it may be. But that I trust in Him and I look to Him as the author and finisher of my faith. He says in verse 6, "For the foolish person will speak foolishness." Notice that. "And his heart will work iniquity. To practice ungodliness, to utter error against the Lord, and to keep the hungry unsatisfied, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail." Here the prophet is giving a description of the foolish people, the foolish person. "Also the schemes of the schemer are evil. He devises wicked plans to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speak justice." The prophet here speaks next to the scoundrels. These people, they were scoundrels. Notice what he says. Their conduct is revealed here in verse 8. "But a generous man devises generous things, and by generosity he shall stand." It says, "Rise up, you women who are at ease. Hear my voice, you complacent daughters. Give ear to my speech." Here the prophet warns the women of Judah. The women of Judah. The women of Judah are still living in luxury. Like you see people today, they have a lot of money. You know, they don't know what to buy anymore. They just have everything they want. And these women were showing off everything they had. And there were so many poor people. In verse 10, he says, "In a year, or some days, you will be troubled, you will complacent women, for the vintage will fall. The gathering will not come." So perhaps here he's specifying a time when Assyria, now we go back to Assyria, remember the nation that came against Israel? He says the army will come and pillage the land. And surely God will use Assyria not only to hurt God's people, but to destroy Jerusalem. And we'll see that. "Tremble, you women who are at ease. Be troubled, you complacent ones. Strip yourself, make yourselves bare, and gear sackcloth on your waist." The women here are called to mourn. To mourn. Notice he said sackcloth. Sackcloth was the actual attire for mourning. Mourning for God. Verse 12. "People shall mourn upon their breast for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. On the land of my people will come up thorns and briars. Yes, on all the happy homes in the joyous city." So here, without God's blessing for obedience, the land of God's people became desolate. Desolate. As the people began to forsake God. Like a forsaken territory that God took away. Jerusalem here was to become not only desolate through the Lord's purging of judgment to a nation. I think of what God is going to do with America. As America keeps pushing himself away from God more and more and more. And now the people in America, it doesn't matter who they are, they want to be entertained. They have no time for God. Because other things have become our gods instead of God being the true God in my life. And the church and the world needs to repent before it's too late. He goes on to say in verse 14, "Because the palaces will be forsaken, the bustling city will be deserted, the forts and the towers will become lairs forever, a joy of wild donkeys, a pasture of flocks." Jerusalem too was to become desolate, the city of God, through the Lord's purging judgment of the nation. God, I wonder what God is saying about America. How is he going to purge America? How is he going to purge the church today? As the church has become sick. As churches now have become entertainment centers. And doing all kinds of weird things. Instead of going forward, the church is going backwards to things that we already have experienced in the past with false doctrines, like shaking, screaming, yelling, holy laughter, you laugh the whole time. All these things that destroys the church, and because people are not rooted and grounded in God's word, they're being deceived by these people. Deceived by false doctrines. How we need the Spirit of God. Verse 15. Until the Spirit is poured upon us from the height, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruit field is counted as a forest. So the promise of the kingdom here was to be eventually to come to Israel with fruitfulness and peace and security. Speaking of the kingdom age. We're going to be there. Israel's going to be there. And Judah here, Judah's troubles will continue at the second coming of Christ. The Spirit will be poured out. As the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost upon the church. Can you imagine what it must have been like, 120 in the upper room, Mary, the mother of Jesus, with them? And the Holy Spirit came upon each one of them individually, and they began to speak in tongues. And they didn't speak a message. There were 30 nations outside listening to them speak in tongues. And what they were saying, they were worshiping God. Worshiping God. No messages, just worshiping God. It's amazing when you read the Word of God. And through that, people got touched. Today, the people of God, the church, needs the Holy Spirit like never before. He says in verse 16, he says, the justice will dwell in the wilderness and the righteousness remains in the fruitful field. So noble spiritual values here were to thrive in the future in the Messianic reign. When Christ comes for 1,000 years, we're going to see a total changed world. And I can't believe that in that kingdom age, there's going to be children playing with lions, leopards, elephants. Those animals that are wild are going to be tamed by God during those 1,000 years where children will be able to play like with a cat or a dog. Christ will bring everything into order. Verse 17, the work of righteousness will be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation. Today, we have no peace. One day, we will. In secure dwellings, as in the quiet resting places. Though hail comes down on the forest, and the city is brought low in humiliation. Blessed are you who sow beside all waters, and who send out freely the feed of the ox and the donkey. So we notice here, if you go back to Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes of Jesus Christ. The prophet here is pronouncing the blessedness of those who will be participating in the future glory of the kingdom of God. And that means each one of us here. When the rapture comes, we'll be taken to heaven. And as we are taken to heaven, we're going to not only come back with Jesus Christ, but when we come back in our new bodies, we're going to be ruling with Him for 1,000 years. And those that come out of the world after the second coming of Christ, Jew and Gentile, will go into the kingdom age, and God will give them one more great opportunity in the kingdom age. And I can't believe that in that kingdom age, by the end of 1,000 years, when Satan is let out of the bottomless pit one more time, that Satan goes out and deceives millions of people. Millions of people. Because their heart was not next to God's heart. Today, we need to stay close to the heart of God. There's so much temptation. So many things that are taking the church away from Jesus Christ. We need to spend time in prayer and in the Word of God. And asking God, God, what do you want to do in my life? This was the prophet's heart. Look at chapter 33. Here is woe to the Assyrians, because they're going to be destroyed. Verse 1. Woe to you who plunder, though you have not been plundered. That's Assyria. And you who deal treacherously, though they have not dealt treacherously with you. When you cease plundering, you will be plundered. When you make an end of dealing treacherously, they will deal treacherously with you. The prophet here is looking beyond Assyria and the power that will come against also Israel. In God, in the battle of Megiddo, God will wipe out every one of those nations that are there. Today you talk to Israel, some of the Israelis, and you'll talk to them, and they don't believe in God. The nation is atheist today. They don't believe in God. But God will use Russia. God will use those Muslim nations to come down on Israel, Ezekiel 38 and 39, and God will humble Israel, but God will win the victory. He will defeat their enemies to show them that God is fighting for them. There will be bodies all over the place. It's going to take 7 months to bury the dead. And there'll be professional markers going on and marking the bodies, because probably nuclear weapons will be used. The contamination of nuclear weapons. God has a plan already for Israel. And that's why I love Israel. They're God's people. And God said that we need to love Israel. And we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem constantly, all the time. He says in verse 2, O Lord, be gracious to us, Israel. We have waited for you, but their arm every morning, our salvation also in time of trouble. So notice here, God's people pray for what? Deliverance. We need to pray for deliverance. We need deliverance in America today. We need deliverance in the church today so that we can worship God in spirit and in truth. We don't just come to be entertained, but we come with a broken heart. Some of you are here tonight because of that. You're going through heavy things in your life. But know one thing, that Jesus will never fail you. And He will never let you go. Those things that you're going through tonight is not only to stretch you, but to get close to the heart of God, to know His heartbeat. And He will heal you. He'll speak to you with His time. It's not our time, but it's His time. That as He speaks to you, as He's getting you closer to His heart, it's because He wants to use your life to reach people for the kingdom of God. And it's not by preaching, it's by the way you live, by the way you act in front of people. No jesting, no dirty jokes, no dirty movies, no dirty music, but separating myself from the world. So that God can not only use my life, but the world can see that I've been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. That I'm truly a believer in Jesus Christ. Your friends, your families are watching you. These are times of trouble. Israel here refuses to wait on the Lord, as the church also refuses to wait on the Lord. Verse 3, at the noise of the tumult, the people shall flee. The nation shall be scattered. So here Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, he's going to not only settle as a nation, he's going to be defeated, he's going to be scattered before the Lord, leaving the spoil behind. Instead of taking the spoil they took, they're going to leave it behind because God is going to destroy them. And your plunder shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar. And the running to run to and fro of locusts who shall run upon them. The Lord is exalted, for He dwells on the high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. Remember, we talked about this when Hezekiah the king was in Jerusalem. And the Assyrians, King Sennacherib, he wrote a letter and they took it and threw it over the wall in Jerusalem. And King Hezekiah got the letter, he spread it open, he began to read it. And Sennacherib was saying, hey, surrender and we won't do anything to you. And Hezekiah took the letter and spread it before the Lord. He said, Lord, these are their threats. What shall I do? And God said, go to bed and sleep. I will show you in the morning. He went to sleep. He got up early in the morning. And God said, go up to the wall and look over the wall. 185 troops came and surrounded Jerusalem. And over the night, and as night came, in the next morning, 185,000 were dead. Dead. Gone. One angel came and wiped out 185,000. the power of angels. And you think how Hezekiah, he didn't make a big deal. He went to the Lord. Why? Because his Lord was his love. When somebody's threatening you or you're going through heavy things, go to the Lord. He's listening. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life. And as I spread that letter before him, whatever your trouble is, he will tell you, wait on me. I will work. And I am working even at this very moment. I am working in your lives. In verse 6, he says, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. And the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Surely their valiant ones shall cry outside, and the ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. Notice from the vision of the future glory here, the prophet is returning to the present time. Hezekiah sent ambassadors to them. They tried to actually pray off Syria, but it did not work. So what happens here? They walked into Jerusalem and defeated Judah. The Assyrians came in and actually defeated Jerusalem. Imagine how many nations want to defeat America today. I mean, you got North Korea. You got Afghanistan. Those that hate us, Al-Qaeda, they hate us. Practicing even today. And they say that it's going to be worse than the first time they ever attacked America. The church needs to pray. Because we're living in the last days. He says in verse 8, the highways lie waste. The traveling man ceases. He has broken the covenant. He has despised the cities. He regards no man. So the enemy here, again, surrounding the city. Remember I told you? Surrounding the city. And what does God do? God intervenes and wipes out 185,000. The earth mourns and languishes. Lebanon is shamed and shriveled. Sharon is like the wilderness, and Bashan and Carmel like nor shake off their fruits. The enemy here has spoiled places renowned. Verse 10. Now I will rise, saith the Lord. Now I will be exalted. Now I will lift up myself. So notice here he says now, three times he says now. And now God is arising to deal with their enemy, Assyria. He tells them, don't worry, I'm going to deal with Assyria. Verse 11, you shall conceive chaff. Your chaff will bring forth stubble. Your breath as fire shall devour you. So the prophet here is describing the Assyrians and their schemes are empty. Verse 12, and the people shall be like the burning of lime. Like thorns cut up, they shall be burned in the fire. And this is speaking here of complete judgment of God. Complete. Verse 13, hear you who are far off what I have done, and you who are near, acknowledge my mind. When God speaks to his enemies, he says they will receive what? Not only recognition of God, but I like what he says here, and you who are near, acknowledge my might. We need to acknowledge the power of God. God is powerful. You don't have to fear. He's there for each one of us. Verse 14, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has seized the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burning? Godless sinners, God will judge, he says. I am going to judge sinners that are godless people. Verse 15, he who walks righteously and speaks uprightly. He who despises the gain of oppressions. Who gestures with his hands, refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from seeing evil. So the only survivors in the presence of the mighty God will be who? The righteous. The righteous, that's us. The righteous that have come by faith to Jesus Christ and have been saved by faith in Christ Jesus. 16. He will dwell on high. His place of defense will be fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him. His water will be sure. So here those who are right with God will enjoy perfect serenity and provision. Isn't that cool? And provision. Verse 17, your eyes will see the king in his beauty. They will see the land that is very far off. So this is not moving into the prophecy beyond Hezekiah, to the beautiful Messiah that is coming, Jesus Christ. Verse 18, your heart will meditate on terror. Where is the scribe? Where is he who weighs? He says, where is he who counts the towers? In that day, in the future, God's people will remember the past hardships under the foreign damnation of people coming against them. Verse 19, you will not see a fierce people, a people of obscure speech, beyond perception, of stammering tongue that you cannot understand. Look upon Zion, the city of our appointed feast. Your eyes will see Jerusalem, a quiet home, a tabernacle that will not be taken down. Not one of its stakes will ever be removed, nor will any of its cords will be broken. God's pretense here is permanently to what? To inhabit and be restored Jerusalem and in the kingdom age. Verse 21, but there is majestic Lord will be for us. A place, broad rivers and streams, in which no galley will oars will sail, no majestic ships will pass. This is the beginning of the assertion about the Lord before moving into the statement about Jerusalem. And God is to restore here the rivers, the streams, as a means of defending the city. Isn't that cool? As a thing of defending the city. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. Your tackle is loose. They could not strengthen their mass. They could not spread the sail. Their prey of great plunder is divided. The lame are taken to prey. And an inhabitant will not say, I am sick. The people who dwell in it will be forgiven of their iniquity. The future blessedness of Jerusalem. This will happen when Christ comes. What's he going to do? He's going to forgive sin again. Isn't that cool that God has forgiven our sins? That he cleanses us, that he washes us, and that he loves us tonight. Father, I thank you so much for your love and your grace and your mercies. Lord, thank you so much for these wonderful people, Lord. Lord, I pray that you teach us, that you lead us, that you guide us, Lord. In such a powerful way, Lord God, that we would get on our faces before you, Lord. And Lord, that you would touch each one of us, even here tonight, Lord. Lord, we give our hearts to you, God. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to speak to us, Lord, through your word. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We worship you.